So we're going to talk about this thing called spiritual fitness. And I've been working on this for 30-some years. And I have 30 minutes to tell you what I've been thinking about for 30-some years. We need one over here. We need some over here. Do we get them over here? This man in the blue? Got any more? I got one more here. God saved one for him. This is a special one. It's got special anointing. I've been praying with it all the time. So, the man in the blue shirt back there. If you didn't get one, see me. I'll make sure you get one, okay? So, I want to talk about what it really means to be spiritually fit. That's a guy's thing. Y'all relate to that. Women, you can listen in because you'll get something out of this too, I hope. Actually, I'm pretty sure you will. Julius Peppers. Everybody know who he is? Anybody not know who he is? He'll be ushered out of the room. Okay, that lady, take her out. Beat her and then bring her back. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Julius Peppers is outside linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. Everybody say hurrah. He is a big dude. He weighs 200, at least. He's reported 287 pounds. He is 6'7". I thought about this guy a lot this week. You think about sitting. Sitting's about 330. Bektari, I can always forget. These guys go 330, 340. What's the difference between those guys and Julius? They got all this fat. Every pound on this guy is bone or muscle. Here's what I learned about Julius Peppers this week. He is 36 years old. His workouts are more intense today than at any other time of his life. He works out harder. He's one of the oldest guys in the NFL. He works out harder today than ever before. He enjoys working out and running with the lighter players because he says that just inspires him to be faster. Isn't that interesting? And I thought, you know, that's it. Now, maybe I'm just dumb. I brought in my 50-pound Bible for Dummies. I got that translation. This is the New Living Translation. It's the simplest one. It's a paraphrase. I like it because it reads like a story. It's easier for me to understand, you know. I spend more time at this stage in my life, and I'm definitely in, if you have, you notice the picture, I am in my fourth quarter. This is my fourth quarter of life. And now this sounds like I'm boasting, and maybe, okay, in Christ, okay, can I have this privilege? But I want to tell this to you. I pray more, I read more, I reflect more, I study more than any other time in my life. And you would think you'd had it figured out by now. But like Julius Peppers, see, you realize that he has such a love for the game. He wants that ring so bad. And I have such a love for my Lord. My whole motivation is different today than maybe what it was 30 years ago. Because now it's inspired out of something that I really want to be more in tune, more in touch, and abide in the person of Jesus Christ, unlike I never have before. Now, for me, I'm so grateful. Now, I got a verse for you, and I want to reflect on this. It's going to be on the screen. I don't know how much of it we've got. There we go. Can you all see that in the back? If not, I'll read it for you. This is found in 1 Timothy. Now, Paul, the apostle, writes a letter to this young man, Tim. He's discipling him, okay? He's investing in him. He writes two wonderful letters, and I love these letters, okay? So I'm going to read this, and spooky guy on the bottom, just forget he's there, okay? But notice it says, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Say, training for godliness is better. Isn't that awesome, Julius? Okay, but it's much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. Interesting, huh? This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle. Some translations literally say suffer. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. Let's leave that up there for a second. He draws an interesting parallel. He draws an interesting parallel between the physical and the spiritual. Okay? As I pointed out, and by the way, Paul knew this too. Now, he knew that the folks in the churches that he was writing to were very consciously aware of athletics. This is Greece. What comes out of Greece? The Olympics, right? Okay? So he'd see these guys working out and stuff, and he would understand. And he was probably very consciously aware of some guys lifting or doing what they do or running. So he's saying physical training is important, but godliness is much better. So he wants to draw an analogy. Now listen, physical, what you eat is important, right? You got to eat the right stuff, correct? Stuff that will nourish your body, stuff like sugar. I had a really bad session with the doctor last week. He said, "What are you eating?" I said, "Well, I guess the cereal bowl full of ice cream is going to have to leave my diet. My sugar numbers are very good." All right? What you eat is important. All right? And what you digest is spiritually is important. You got to feed yourself. You'd be anemic. You'd be anemic. We're praying for people here today that have alcohol issues and stuff. And, you know, whoever's on the throne of your life, that's who's going to get the feeding. So it's important, right, that you understand that you got to eat right physically and you got to eat right spiritually. Do y'all get it? Good, good, okay. And then you got to exercise. And, you know, I do walk every day. My daughter's here. She is today. She is a gym rat. I mean, she's buffed up. She's got her hooks into me, man. Things are going to change, you know. And from diet, now exercise, working out, running, the doctor said, how much do you work out? Whatever it is, it ain't enough. You know, we really have to work out. Physically, you gotta work out, and spiritually, you gotta work that muscle too. Okay. By the way, this is about as much preaching as you're gonna get out of me today, but you really gotta do this. Read your Bibles, people. Read your Bibles. Get you one that you can understand. They got them out there written for fifth grade level. I found one. I love it, and I'm not ashamed of it because it's good. It's good. You read it. You study it. There's things that you can do, and then you tell people about it. That's exercising that muscle. You get it? And then you watch what you don't want in your system. Like, for physical endurance, you don't drink a bunch of colas or eat tons of ice cream, all the favorite things in my life, fat fried chicken, honey dipped. Fried chicken's the best. No, David. Some of these things, tater chips. My dog even likes tater chips now. You know, he and I, we have lunch. We together. We want chips. You know, can't do that. That's junk food. You got to stop it. You know, and some of us are looking at the wrong things, guys. You know who I'm talking about. You got to be careful. You don't put garbage in your brain because it'll mess up your spiritual life. Stop it. That's about as much preaching as I'm going to do today. But you know. So what I want to do today is talk about this big idea. You can obtain spiritual fitness, go to the next slide, by practicing the presence of God. Now I'm in my fourth quarter of life. I have made a decision of what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. It's taken me 30 years to get there. I figured it out. I'm going to hunker down, plant my feet, grit my teeth, and I'm not going to budge. I know what I'm going to do the rest of my life. It's as clear can be. Here's what it is. You ready? I just told you. I'm going to practice the presence of God. That's it. Now, what that means is important. You need to understand this because I'd be kind of silly if I'd walk around practicing. Think, what's he doing? Oh, he's just practicing. You know, it's kind of goofy. You know, give him space. No, I want to abide in Christ. That's what it means. I want to spend the rest of my life with this one thought. I want to abide in Christ. Now, that's important. Some people don't even have a clue. Well, what does that mean? I want to abide. I want to be filled with the Spirit. That's what I want. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to be so into God that I'll know I'm going to be closer to Him than my thoughts. I am going to be so one with Him. There was a movie out years ago called City Slickers. City Slickers? Who was in it? Billy Crystal? Whose guy played Curly? I couldn't remember his name, and I was too lazy to look it up. But you remember that movie? Some of you remember that movie? He was a tough cowboy, and he's got these city slickers coming in, and he's going to show them how to do life, you know? And Billy, in one of these scenes, Billy Crystal, his name is Mitch in the movie, he's riding on a horseback, and he's riding with cowboy Curly. And Curly says, you know, a meaning of life. I wanted to use the clip, but he said a naughty word, and the church people are going to take me out and stone me with that lady who didn't know who Julius Peppers was. But it's a great clip. I mean, if you can handle big boy talk. But here's what he said. He said that it boils down to one thing. Life is all about one thing. And Mitch says, what's the one thing? And then he said, Curly says, that's what you got to figure out. Now listen, are you listening? This is it. This is what you need to figure out. How do I abide? How am I? Can I practice the presence of God in my life in such a way that I know that I know that I know that I am walking with Him, that He is in me? That's it. Now I think, as a church planner, I wish I had been preaching this message so strongly 30 years ago. Now the church I left was happy and they're prosperous and they're growing. They got a building like this. You walk behind this building. Listen, people, I get goosebumps what God is going to do in this place. He's already started, but you go back in that room, you get goosebumps. It's going to be spectacular. Berlin, to have a place like this, awesome. But what God wants to do, what God wants to do in our lives, He wants you to know, without a shadow of a doubt, that He is your Lord and Savior, that you can talk and be with Him each and every day. But some people, you know, I talk about, there's a lot of confusion. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? I found this really cool definition. Here's what it is. If you're Spirit-filled, that's totally under the influence of something to the point of being controlled by it. Totally under the influence of something to be totally controlled. I want to be totally controlled by the Spirit of the living God. That's it. That's my fourth quarter. That's all I want to focus on. That one thing, Curly said. What is that going to affect? Everything. Why are we all here? That should be the primary reason we're going to church, to get readjusted. But not to depend totally on this. You can obtain spiritual fitness by practicing the presence of God. You can't just go have one good meal a week and think you're going to be fine. This is 24/7. This is every day. This is when you wake up and you go to sleep. And by the way, arguably, it's when you're at sleep. Your dreams will be different, better, holy. Abide in Christ. One thing. My daddy, I used to think he's being frugal, but I think it's just because he didn't have a lot of money. He used to do something at Christmas time. And we lived in Milwaukee. And I remember him as a child bringing home a Christmas tree. And it usually came on Christmas Eve day. So, you know, he's like last minute guy, okay? But there's another reason he did it. You could get the tree a lot cheaper, you know? But he'd bring these ugly trees home. You know, they were all kind of like, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas tree, you know? And it was like ugly, you know? But here's what he would do. He would cut off a limb. And he'd get out his drill, and he had one of these drills, you know, that just before, you know, he had this
thing, you know, drill bit, and, you know, he'd drill a hole in the tree trunk. And he'd take a limb off the back and insert it in the front. And he was grafting. That's what he told me. It was grafting. It was grafting. Okay? And he'd sit back and he'd look at it. And then, you know, I'd go back around, cut another one off and rearrange it, drill it in, stick it in. He's grafting. Do you know that's a biblical concept? When you go home tonight, one of the things you can do is you open up John chapter 14 and you see this story about the vine and the branches. And it starts off with the husbandman, the father. He's the vineyard keeper. He goes into his vineyards. And he grafts branches into the vine. The branches don't produce the fruit. The branches simply bear the fruit. The power comes from the vine. Metaphorically speaking, what's he talking about? Metaphor, that's a big word. Metaphor, symbolically, what is he talking about? Christ, okay? The Father takes us lost people and grafts it into the vine. You know, when you drill a hole into the vine, what happens? You heard it. If it had blood, it would bleed. When that, I'm sorry before about that comment about the outside. We're going to give you total absolution and forgiveness for that. If you take the branch, you cut it off of something else, what happens? If it had blood, it would bleed. I mean, there's a hurt process here. But what is happening here? He's grafting you and me into a vine that will produce the power. And then, listen, are you listening? It's so simple. We're abiding into the vine where all power comes from. Live the rest of your life knowing that you can abide in Christ, that you could be one with Him, that you could be filled with Him, totally controlled by Him. Love Him. And that's the key. That's the difference between my prayer years of the past and my prayer years of today. I am so in love with Him. So now I'm going to spend a few minutes. Us preachers, we get up here and we kind of throw out all these ideas and then we say, amen, and have a good week and hope you come back next time, you know. But here's what I want to do. I want to tell you how to do this. Actually, I want to tell you how I do it. All right? Now, I don't want to create bunch of legalists in my wake. Legalist is somebody who does something because they think they have to do. Legalist is a religious thing that people do to get right with God. I'm not trying to tell you to do this. But I want to give you some ideas. Because there's a difference between being under law and under grace. And when you really get to know Jesus Christ, you find yourself understanding what grace is. His grace, His amazing grace, is all about. So I've got some things that begin with a T. To open up your programs, those of you like to write, I said to Andrea, who does the programs, I said, I'm just put down a bunch of T's. There's seven of them, I think. See if you can catch all seven, okay? There's seven T's. Now, I try to keep this simple so you don't even have to do that. Most of you all be able to remember what I'm going to tell you. And so if you're reading the book right now, you might want to stop because this is the important part of the message, okay? Just stop. Just stop because I want you to catch these seven T's, all right? Now, the first one is time. Time. I found a verse. I thought this was interesting. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus gets up, leaves the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Do you think that was like the first day he did that? And so they recorded it. They said, this is pretty good. I saw Jesus, you know. I think that was a habit. I think that was a habit. I think that Jesus wanted to go get away from the busy and go to a place where he could He could spend time. Bill Hybels wrote a book I read it years ago. It said, too busy not to pray. And I want to know, listen,
Are you listening? I want to know Christ in a personal, intimate way. And the best way I know how to do that in my life is go spend time with Him every day. Solid time. I mean, a lot of people say cute time. I thought, well, it's quiet time. I know, that's okay. But I think it's quality time. I want to spend quality time with Him. You know, maybe 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 50 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. If you got that kind of luxury. But you spend time. I made a decision. I just decided. I'm never going to go through a day without spending time with Him. I just made that decision. And all, you know, Christianity starts with a decision. You have to decide. Are you going to trust Christ or not? So I decided I'm going to do my very best, spend time, quality time with Him every day. Why not? I used to have a girl that worked for me. Her name was Tricia. I think this was her name. This is a very long time. This was before this, guys. This is a very long time ago. But I remember her very clearly because I went into this office. I took over this branch, and it was like my first week or two, three. And they had a girl there. Her name was Tricia. And her job, her principal job, was to come in early every morning, open up the office. There was like 10, 12, 20, 15 guys. Open up the office, get the coffee going, get the lights on, turn on a computer. I don't know what we had back then. The fax machine, copy machine. Unlock all the file cabinets. Get the place ready. Get the place ready, you know. And all the guys were complaining, that Tricia, she's never on time. Guys are lined up down the hallway waiting for her. And I'm not an early man guy. I didn't want to get there early either. So, but she's just habitually late. And she's a nice girl and all that. But, you know, I finally sat down with her and I said, Tricia, if your life depended upon it, if your life depended on it, could you be here on time? She looked down, she thought a minute, she went, you know, I don't think I could. So I thought, well, that sales saves me a whole lot of frustration. You know, why am I trying to get milk out of a chicken, you know? I mean, this ain't working. And so here's what I said. Well, thanks for your honesty. I think today's your last day. And it was. Now, what's the message in that? Listen, she wasn't committed. If your life depended upon it, can you make an appointment? If your job depended upon it, your livelihood depended on it, could you make an appointment? Could you get there on time? Well, she didn't think she could. And if she didn't think she could, I can't make her think that. There's only one solution. Bye-bye, you know. And she's gone. But here's what I want you to learn. It's usually a matter of commitment. You got to decide. Okay, I'll be there in time. Okay, you stay. Good deal. Shake hands. Party on. You know? But I think if you say, do I have time to go and spend with the Lord? Listen, do you all have time to go to the bathroom? Raise your hand if you do. Yeah, we all, you know. You have time to eat? Sure. You have time for that law and order session, you know, football, sports, Fox News, CNN, whatever it is. You know, you have time to do all these things in your life. What the heck's the matter with us? It's a matter of saying, okay, I'm going to spend time. Now, that's preaching again. I'm just telling you my do. I made a decision. Every day I love Him so much, I want to spend time. What do I do in that time? I don't know. It's different every day. But I kind of think this is my time with Him. I go sit in my chair. I might be reading a book. I can read a book of the Bible in 15 or 20 minutes. A lot of people don't even understand. They're only 4 or 5 pages long. It takes about as long as it takes to take the newspaper. It takes time. So the first thing I want to do is say, this challenge you. If you really want to get on board for spiritual fitness, one of the things you want to do is make a decision today. I'm going to spend time with Him every day. Quality time. Quiet time. I don't care if it's 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour. It doesn't matter. You want to spend time. Spend time. There's a study Bible that I have. It was in the inside cover, and this was 30 years ago, 30-some years ago. I found this upper room. Upper room. I don't. Where's the upper room? Portals of prayer. Everybody's got one, you know. Daily life, daily bread. What are these little devotionals? Y'all know what I'm talking. Christians, y'all know.
Some of you read them every day, okay? And I was reading this one day, and it said, when a person decides to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, the training program begins. I thought, that's interesting. And it said, Jesus takes responsibility for the training. I thought, wow, he does. Well, I'm cutting that one out, and I'm taping it on the inside of my Bible. Now, if he's taking responsibility for the training, shouldn't I show up for the class? And that's kind of like how I've modeled my life. I really think that's true. Okay, so time, right? Second one. I love this one. Training. we got to get trained, you know. Train yourself. I'm not making this up. The Bible says that train yourself to be godly. 1 Timothy, Paul's telling us. He says, train yourself. You need some new habits. Some of you need a lot of new habits. I need new habits. Focusing on the purpose, on the presence. Focus on abiding in Christ. I need to develop that habit. I need to understand developing the training. See if I can find this really quick. I thought Colossians 3. You read this stuff and you think, once you're looking for it, like I want to abide, once you're looking for it, I want to spend my rest of my life following that one thing of knowing God. Once you're looking for it, it pops out all over the Bible. You'll find it everywhere. Colossians 3, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights in realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at the right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. That's hard. I mean, that lawnmower didn't start for 2 days. It had me so frustrated. You know, I was placing batteries in everything. Put the tenders on them. You know, I had to learn, you know. I had to learn. But here I didn't realize a lot of these things is important to me, that I need to understand that I need to focus on the realities of heaven more than what's going wrong in the world around me. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. I need to know what that means. I'm in training, people. There's a lot of things that I'm doing in my life that have go against what he's saying in his Bible. I got to figure out what that means, okay? I'm in training. And so should you. It's like Julius Pepper. The older he gets, the harder he trains. I have a friend. I'm going to talk about this in a second. But it's not about doing. Listen, it's simply not about doing. It is about abiding. I think learning to rest takes energy. Because we're busy people. My daughter is in my house this weekend, and I thought as I was waking up this morning, let's keep the news stations off. Let's not watch any news. I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired about what I'm seeing on the TV. You know, part of the training, part of the focus. I want it to be about family this weekend. I want to abide. I want to understand. Listen, I want to understand my true identity. A lot of people don't have intimacy with God because they don't understand their identity. They don't really know who they are in Christ. They may have said a little prayer when they're 8 years old, 12 years old, 40 years old, but they don't understand the implications of that prayer, that they truly are a child of God. They're sitting with God in the heavenlies, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. They're in God, in Christ. Galatians 2:20 said, I've been crucified with Christ, and I don't no longer live, but Christ lives in me. My old man is dead. Do you know what the Bible says? Your sin nature is dead. But why do we go on sinning? Could possibly be that you've missed the class, the time when God would tell you that? Is it possible that you haven't trained yourself to understand what it really means to live in righteousness? It's possible. Rest. Okay, so you got to train for this. It just doesn't come. You got to train for this. Now, love this next one. Talk. One of the shortest verses of the new LT. NLT, Jesus wept. I know. This is number two. Pray continually. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing, that's some translations say. Pray all the time. Talk to him all the time. I think if you're going to practice the presence of God in your life, what you need to do is learn to talk to him all the time. Okay? I'm really grateful for Bluetooth. So I can drive down the road in my car and I can be talking to God and they think I'm on the phone, you know? No, I'm messing with you there. I don't even have Bluetooth. But I really think that we should be talking to God all the time. I have a client friend. I've coached her for quite a few years. And she goes through her spells. And this last one of the last phone calls I think I had with her, she said, you know, I've been so anxious about this stuff. I'm talking to myself. And I said, well, are you answering your questions? And she said, I don't know, I might be. I said, that's crazy. It's good coaching, huh? But I said, why don't you try something different? Instead of talking to yourself who doesn't have the answer, why don't you redirect your conversation to talk to God throughout the day? She's a Christian, you see? Because it is crazy. Talk to him. Develop a habit. Hebrews 12:2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. Fix your eyes. Here's the deal. Listen. What we're talking about here is not going through the pick and save, everybody going through babbling. Y'all leave here, go shopping, go to Walmart, y'all talking to yourself. No. This is an attitude. Praying continually is the attitude that you have, where you are really thinking about him, reflecting upon, drawing him in to everything you do. So if you're practicing the presence of God, you really want to be talking to him. It's kind of like, you know, if you had you had friends in your home, let's say somebody comes to visit you and they're sitting in the living room, and then you walk through the living room and you don't acknowledge them at all, you know? Or they're in the kitchen and they're eating or something, bowl of cereal or something, and you go through the house and they're in the room, but you don't acknowledge that they're even there. That's what we do with God. We ask him into our heart, and he's present in our life, but we go through our life, we don't even acknowledge that he's in there. Like, how nuts is that? Why do we do that? So maybe, just maybe, you leave here today. So you know what? I'm going to, and practice in the presence of God, I'm going to spend some quality time with him. I'm going to really get into this training program spiritually. I want to be spiritually fit. And I'm going to talk to him. And then today, next slide, today, Mandy, today, every day is a new day. I'm going to trust with him. The verse says, our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and particularly of all believers. I just recognized the time. I was going to do this in 30 minutes. Listen, are you listening? Don't leave me yet. The Savior of all people, particularly of all believers. Listen, you've given your life to Christ. You need to know. You need to trust it. Are you a dimwit? Are you a halfwit? Or are you fully committed? Today, you have to trust him because, listen, he does trust you. Examine your heart. Just examine your heart. Say, am I really trusting him? I thought that there's going to be people in this room that have never said yes to Jesus Christ at all. They've never really been challenged, or they've never heard it, or they never thought about it, or maybe they're putting it off to the next day, or maybe you think you're not good enough, smart enough, or know enough, and you haven't trusted him. Let me make a suggestion to you. Say, this is the day, I'm going to write it in my book, I know my day, March 30th, 1985, it was a Thursday, it was morning, it's about 10 a.m., I'll never forget that day. That day, what's today's date? June 19th, 2016. What time is it? About 11:59. Everybody's looking at their clock. 11:15. You know the time. Why don't I challenge you to do this? If you haven't already, say today's the day of my salvation. That's what the Bible says you're supposed to do anyways. Today you make a decision. I'm going to trust him. I am going to trust him. Today. First time in my life, I am going all in. How do you do this? You just tell me a story for every sin you've ever committed. Simple. Don't complicate this. I am sorry. Everybody say, I am sorry. It feels so good. And now listen, God would say back to you, you are forgiven. Say, I want to trust you with the rest of my life. Say that. You put a big smile on God's face. He's been waiting. Say, I'm going to follow you the best I can for the rest of my life. Say that.
power isn't in the words, it's in the emotion, it's in the attitude. You come to him like that. You know what he's going to do? He's going to say, welcome. Welcome. From this time forward, you are mine. Nothing can take you from me. Nothing. Trust him. And then you begin that every day. Today, you're reminded of June 19th, 2016, about 11 o'clock, you made a decision to trust Christ. You know it. Make a decision. Don't play games with that. And then thank him. Always, next slide, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. Always giving thanks. You know, all things work together for good to those who love God. Sometimes in the midst of crisis and tragedy, we don't see it. But it's a promise. All things. To those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You know, I thank God every day for my wife. I thank God every day for my life. I thank God every day that he loves me and that I am his. I thank God. It's an attitude, a special heart. Then finally, I want to say teach. Teach these great truths to trustworthy people so they can pass it on. We're all teaching. We're all teaching. Are you dimwit? That's what you're teaching them. Are you halfwit? Are you nitwit? That's what you're teaching them. Or are you committed? That's what you want to teach them. You don't want to assume they're going to find it out on their own. Fathers, listen, are you listening? That's your job. Teach them. Teach them. If you're committed, let them know it. The reason that I think most people today are lacking intimacy with God is they don't realize that they are totally accepted by him. They don't realize that who they really are in Christ. But when you're born again, you've given your life to Christ, that your true identity is a child of the living God. It all begins with that. The verse that Paul opened up, he said, my hope is in the living God, Savior of all people. Jason will have him come out for a closing song. Let's close with a prayer. Father, we do thank you this day. For to know you is to love you, and to love you is to know you. And I pray, Lord, that we can all leave this place here realizing our need to practice the presence of God in our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Thank you.